Mary Appelhoff is an internationally known expert on vermicomposting, that is, composting with worms. She travels the world giving speeches and workshops.
You're kind of famous, aren't you?
I do have a reputation. Anyone who's known as Worm Woman.
But Mary Appelhoff didn't become Worm Woman overnight. 25 years ago, Appelhoff was a biology teacher looking for a new opportunity. She found it when she answered an ad that said, "Raise worms for fun and profit." So she ordered her first batch of worms and started experimenting. She found that the worms devoured food waste, turning it into rich compost. Eventually, Appelhoff developed a system that could be used indoors. The worms live inside a plastic storage container that's a few feet long and a couple of feet high.
When I started out, I couldn't get people to listen to me for 3 minutes. Mary, you're never going to get people to bring worms into their own homes to eat their own garbage. And it was a hard sell, you know, starting out. But it's very gratifying now to know that there could be as many as 1 million worm bins in the United States.
Many of those bins were set up using Appelhoff's book, Worms Eat My Garbage. It sold tens of thousands of copies around the world.
My mission is to change the way the world thinks about garbage, to think of it as a resource, to take the most repulsive part of what we produce in our homes and to live with it, to do something useful with it.
So you might say Mary Appelhoff is responsible for global warming.
Now we keep the worm box down in the basement, so we'll go down there.
2 years ago, Tom Carey became part of this worming trend. Using Appelhoff's book as his guide, Carey built his own worm bin out of scrap wood. He keeps an old window shade over the top to keep everything moist. Even though there's a healthy worm population in here, you won't see them unless you dig around. After all, worms don't like light.
I see some corn cobs here. It looks like there might be a little bit of onion over there, maybe a bagel. Part of a bagel? Is that what that is?
This is, let's see, this is the end of a piece of pizza.
And worms like pizza?
We'll find out. I think that they do.
What's most surprising about the worm bin is the smell. Even with all the rotting food inside, it really doesn't stink. That's because Carey carefully buries food scraps at the bottom of the box. Then the worms go to work. They eat the decomposing food and excrete manure called castings. It's rich, dark material that looks and smells like dirt and makes great compost. Carey plans to use it in his garden this summer. When it comes to the care and feeding of his worms, Carey says he takes a low-maintenance approach. He buries food waste about once a month, and he says the moldier the leftovers, the better.
Like if you've got rice or spaghetti or things like that, that if it stays here for a little while or it's been in your refrigerator too long and it's already starting to break down, a lot of that bacteria is very accessible to them, you know, to digest and to use up. And so if it's really rotten stuff, they tend to really get into it.
Since Carey built his worm bin out of materials he already had around, the only expense was buying the worms. He started with a couple of pounds that cost under $40. But it's important to understand that you need to use the right type of worms. Night crawlers won't work because a worm bin isn't deep enough for their burrows. What you need are red worms. Mary Appelhoff says the technical name is Icenia fetida. They're smaller and skinnier than night crawlers.
Now this worm is an adult Icenia fetida. You can tell that because it has that swollen band on it. That swollen band is a secretory organ. It's known as the clitellum. And it secretes a slime which will hold two worms together as they reproduce. Oh, in fact, we have mating worms right here.
The nice thing about worms is that once you buy a pound or two, they'll continue to reproduce, so you don't have to buy any more. Tom Carey says he started his worm bin as kind of a lark, but now he says he really appreciates reducing the amount of waste that would otherwise end up in a landfill. He estimates about 6 or 7 pounds every month.
I think, you know, everything that you can do, even as small as this, it may not be a significant individual difference, but I think combined, you know, collectively, then it becomes significant.
Still, Mary Appelhoff concedes there are a lot of people who are squeamish about worms, and it might take a push to get them to dig the idea.
I've often said that the time to get people to do worm bins is 3 weeks into a garbage strike. Because a lot of us are crisis-driven. When do we change our behaviors? We really change our behaviors in a crisis. That is the incentive.
But even without garbage strikes, the number of people getting into vermicomposting is creeping up all the time. Appelhoff says one hotbed of worm activity is the city of Seattle, where there are more than 4,000 active worm bins. And Vancouver is another place that welcomes worms. The city's been selling its own vermicomposting bins since the early 90s, even subsidizing part of the cost. Most programs target individuals, but Mary Appelhoff adds there's a place for large-scale vermicomposting, too. While no one's found a cost-effective way to do it yet, Appelhoff says she expects within the next decade, large-scale composting with worms will become big business. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Wendy Nelson in Kalamazoo, Michigan.